Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline, as he does each and every Tuesday at 4:30, is Rob Bradford of WEEI, the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. He's presented by McFarlane Energy, Mego.
McFarlane.
Arcan.
Farlin.
The region's most dependable provider of home heating oil, including BioHeat, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlaneEnergy.com. Bradford, how are we doing this week?
You know who I like at number three?
Who's
I like
that?
Nick Kurtz out of Wake Forest.
Why is that?
Oh, I thought we were talking about the MLB draft.
Oh, I thought
I got my draft mixed up.
I thought this was another NFL prospect you gave a Baseball Isn't Boring sticker to, like you did with Marvin Harrison.
Listen, I was very strategic. I knew right when I gave him that T-shirt, Marvin Harrison Jr., of course, that he should have been the pick, and I'm digging in on that. Marvin Harrison Jr. to the podium wearing the Baseball Isn't Boring T-shirt. Let's go.
Bradfo, has anyone ever turned down a piece of Baseball Isn't Boring apparel?
Yes.
Who turned it down?
You're going to be shocked to hear who did. It was Joey Votto.
Wow.
Joey Votto.
Baseball is boring, actually.
No, he said, I don't need a T-shirt to tell me that.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I'm trying to give you a free T-shirt.
I thought
Canadians were supposed to be nice. That's the rudest Canadian I've ever heard of.
He is not. He's just a little bit different. He's nice. He's the type of guy I kind of like, which you ask him a question and he makes you work for it. And he gives you an answer that you didn't expect. So, yeah.
He plays hard to get.
I like those guys. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Bradfoe likes a little hard to get, which is how the Red Sox.
He likes the chase.
Yeah, it's how the Red Sox play defense. Everything is hard for them to get. How much of the poor fundamentals, not backing up bases, not throwing to the right bases, we've seen this last year with this Red Sox team. It's continuing again this year. How much of the lack of fundamentals, defensive miscues are on Cora?
I don't think there's a lot on Cora. I think it's a lot on the level of talent you have on the roster and the level of experience you have on the roster. You look at these guys who are making these mistakes. Once they make a mistake, it's like they're clinched. I mean, they are like worrying about the next mistake. They certainly haven't proven themselves enough defensively at the major league level to say it's no big deal. And I think it sort of spirals. And it really, you look at, and we keep coming back to Trevor Story, but Trevor Story was the perfect example of what you needed to make that defense better. He was a really good defensive player that was protecting you second base and third base. I saw it in spring training over and over again. I saw it in the first week of the season. And once he left, everything sort of got all out of whack. And I'm not saying that's the only reason, but that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, though, Adam. Like, the thing is that look at the guys who are making mistakes. They're not the guys. These guys haven't been in the major leagues long. And
Rafael Devers has been in the league for a long time. He's running people over.
He's not a good defensive player. And second of all, we also know that when he gets in the wrong mindset defensively, he goes from decent to not good at all. And that goes back to Story. This was the whole deal.
So
Trevor Story was going to help Rafael Devers be better. And he was better when Story was there, and then Story left, and all of a sudden, Devers reverted back to what he was for the last 4 months of the season.
So zeros on Cora?
No, I don't say zero. You have to put something on the coaching staff or the manager. But it's not like, you know, the Cora thing I don't get. Like, I don't get, like, what do you want him to do?
Have his guys back up bases and throw to the proper base and defensively in the right position.
I'm sitting there literally watching like literally 5 minutes ago. I've watched every day. I watch every day in spring training, and they go through these drills every day, and these guys are supposed to all understand that. And so when these guys get out there for whatever reason. I think it's because of the level of player and the level of experience that you have. They're making the wrong move. When you don't cover second on that play the other day that let the guy go to second base, then, I mean, it's like, that's not Alex Cora saying, oh my goodness, we didn't drill this in. We didn't tell you where to go. They're supposed to know that, but they don't know that because for whatever reason, the game's speeding up on them and they're in the major leagues making mistakes.
Bradfoe, the other day, Kenley Jansen had some comments after the game about how embarrassing the MLB's slippery balls are and that it's a major issue. Is that an issue that you've heard from any other pitchers about these embarrassing slippery balls?
Yes. Yeah, I have heard that. I mean, we had them I remember it, the first time I heard it was last year, actually. It was Matt Strom was on the podcast, and he was talking about how whack the balls were. And then you hear it from other pitches. I heard it from, you know, Garrett Cole and Adam Ottavino. And you know, it's been a constant problem. The problem that it doesn't look good for Kenley is, you know, when you get to the end of the game and you don't perform at the end of the game after these other pitchers have pitched with the same sort of baseballs, that's not a good look. I don't doubt he believes that this is going on, and I believe that this is an issue. But you just can't, you know, it's just a bad luck for Kenley. It just is. I think that for me, for Kenley, like, I obviously like Kenley. He's good for business. I think he's a good guy. But for me, for Kenley, I relate him back to a lot. He's got a lot of Ortiz in him in the sense of he just can't help himself. Like, he is a genuine guy who speaks his mind. And a lot of times, that's the way Ortiz was. And a lot of times, Ortiz would get in trouble because, remember, barging in the room to look for his RBI, you know? But it's, I see a lot of the same sort of the personality traits, which we like a lot of times, but then at the same time, you're going to be criticized once in a while for it.
Brad Foe, the defense, I think, is taking a lot of the spotlight away from the fact that this bullpen hasn't been great lately, and it's costing these starters wins, decisions, really, in a lot of cases. What do you think the current state of the bullpen is right now, and where do you think it's kind of going?
Oh, I think that, number one, this goes back to the defense. The starters aren't going deep enough overall. I mean, every once in a while they are, but overall they aren't, and that's because you're giving extra outs. So you're extending the bullpen a little bit more. And then also, when you're having this bullpen, these guys like Weisert or, you know, Isaiah Campbell before him, these guys are guys that you're trying to figure out are good. Like, they're good in spring training. They're good in the first week of the season. But you don't know over the long haul if they're good. So they're trying to figure out who goes where. Justin Slayton's really good so far. All right, check that one off. Chris Martin, if he's healthy, but he's not healthy, he would be good. Kenley Jansen, you think that if he gets a little, you know, gets things right a little bit, he'll be okay. But the rest of the bullpen is reliant on not being thrown out there too much, kind of like they are now, I think. And also, just not, you need some certainty. You have to pay for certainty every once in a while. We saw that with Martin and Jansen last year.
Brad Foe, were you surprised to hear that John Henry and Tom Werner were not attending the Larry Lucchino's funeral last Thursday?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that, you know, I know that they came out and said what Werner was overseas and Henry was sick or whatever, but it's certainly a bad luck considering what Larry Lucchino meant for those guys' legacy, and maybe they had a falling out. I don't know, but still, I mean, that Larry Lucchino was really, really important to helping build those two guys what they are to today. So, you know, it's disconcerting. I mean, there's no question about it. And so I think that what I would have liked to see, if you legitimately couldn't make it for whatever reason, don't give me the comment in the press release lumped in with 15 other comments about Larry Lucchino. Give me a legitimate video. Hey, I'm sorry I can't make it. This is what it means. Something along those lines. And it just was like, oh, you know what? Someone else is going to have to say that we weren't there, and we're going to hope that it blows on by. But, yeah, it wasn't a good look.
Is there any possibility, Brad Foe, because I was shocked to hear this on Sunday morning. I was shocked to read. I think it was McAdam had it first. Is there any possibility maybe that, like, I don't know, the Lucchinos didn't want them there or something, and this was their way? Because I can't really imagine that they would be so just out of it and out of touch to not show up at something like that.
I mean, there's always that possibility, but though I will say this, Linda Pizzuti was there, right? So
Theo was there, right?
Yeah, Theo was there. And you remember, you know, the controversy between those two and the falling out you had between those two. And I don't think that certainly by the end they were best buddies by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think Theo understood sort of how important Larry Lucchino was to his career and his existence. Christian, to answer your question, that could be the case, but the fact that Linda Bizzuti's there, that would suggest that wasn't.
Was John Sterling ever on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast?
No. But I did have today, I love talking about John Sterling because this is my take on John Sterling. He said, you know, social media sort of amped up everyone's recognition of John Sterling with the home run calls and maybe even the missed calls. But he was unique. And this is, you know, I had Sweeney Murdy on the podcast today talking about him. And one of the things that we both said is that guys are afraid to be unique anymore. You know, John Sterling was what he was, right? And it is what it is. And he had the home run calls, the goofy nicknames and everything else. And he was a fan of the team and whatever. But he was unique. And I get the sense with a lot of broadcasters that they're just they're petrified that they're going to break off from broadcasting school 101. And John Sterling wasn't that way. Joe Castiglione isn't that way. Will Fleming isn't that way. So, I mean, so it's okay. But I see more and more of these people coming up worrying about voice inflection and what the other broadcaster is going to say. John Sterling was never that way.
All right, he's Rob Bradford. You can check him out each and every week here on Jones and Mego with Arcan at 4:30. You can also check out the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. Bradford, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later. See you.
All right, Rob Bradford, as all our guests, joins us on the Harbor One Hotline.
How do you like that? Higashioka, the home run stroker.
Nice.